Yeah, just like that guy said, it is time for the Derek Shelton Show here on The Fan. The Pirates manager is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Paul Shelty called me out a couple weeks ago for not inquiring as to his well-being off the top, so I'm going to start right there. How are you, Shelty?
I'm good, Stark. Thank you very much. I appreciate the check-in. I mean, there's probably at other times of the year I would appreciate it more.
Yes.
When I'm not doing as great, but like, yeah, I appreciate it.
I know. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. The team played well in Chicago, and it's your lucky day, a chance to break news on the show. I know how much you like to do that. Ji-Won Bae, leading the International League in hitting, has been called up. Is he in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, we haven't completed our lineup yet tonight, but I would say there's a good chance he's going to be in the lineup tonight.
Good chance he'll lead off?
Nah, there's not a chance he'll lead off. Kutch is going to lead off.
Good chance he'll play where? Will you give?
I don't know. That's what we're still walking through. I need to get with our offensive group and Donnie and talk through it. We'll do that once we get done with the radio show. But G will be in the lineup tonight.
Well, then the flip side of that question is, how did you come to the conclusion that Ryder was the guy that was going to go down?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we were coming off the off day, and our pitching's in pretty good shape. I mean, as you guys well know, our starting pitching was really good in Chicago and gave us a ton of innings, so we felt like our bullpen was in a good spot. At some point, we're going to have to go get an arm, depending on how these games go, but right now I think any time we can go with an extra position player just to give us flexibility throughout the game, we will take that opportunity, and this is one of those times.
Shelty, it felt like the last game in Chicago is the recipe in terms of pitching for you. When the Pirates got good back in 2013, it was Melanson, Watson, Grilly. If the Pirates were winning after six, the game was over. The other day you had Keller, six innings. You had Holderman, Chapman, Bednar, three innings, no hits, no runs, four strikeouts. I have to imagine that's the recipe, yes?
Yeah, that's really the recipe you're looking for, is to be able to use your leverage guys. And I think the biggest part of that was what Mitch was able to get out of him the sixth in the maturation of Mitch Keller. I mean, he goes second and third, nobody out in a 3-1 game, and we come out of that inning 3-2, and that's really important. I mean, we get a sacrifice fly, then he's able to get the next two guys out. Those are the things that really lead into helping you win games, when you can really just maintain the inning, and it becomes more of a run versus rally. You don't want to give up a run at any time, obviously, but the last thing you want to do is you want to stay away from the rally, and Mitch did a good job, and then our bullpen was able to shut it down.
Are you satisfied that Bednar is back 100% to the guy we've seen in recent years?
I think we're seeing him get close to it. You know, I mean, he was so good for 2 years with the execution of everything. There's still times where we'll see some inconsistencies with the fastball, but it's so much closer. And I think we saw that throughout this last road trip, that he's getting really close to where he wants to be with the fastball. I mean, a perfect example, and I'm being very nitpicky here, is like, you know, he walked Bush the other day with two outs and kind of got across the fastball there. Last year, that ball's executed to the top of the zone, kind of like the 3-1 pitch, but I think he's really close.
You know, the way that you guys have pitched, and obviously it's been pretty impressive from what your starters have done, not just recently, but pretty much the whole year. There's a thought that if your offense can improve just incrementally a little bit, you guys could actually really get on a roll and be serious in August and September. Do you see areas in your offense with just the guys you have that there's room for growth?
Yes, I do, and I think those room for growth is just situationally. We have to make sure that, you know, situationally we take advantage of opportunities. And I mean, I think you can even go back to the last homestand where we had some chances to win games and didn't capitalize on situations. And then on this road trip, we really saw when we did execute situations that we won games. And I think that's the important dynamic that we need to continue to focus on. For for some reason, and this is not just with the Pirates, but throughout the league, we're seeing offenses go through stretches like this. And I don't know if the pitching's better. I don't know what it is, but capitalizing situationally is the most important thing.
Yeah, kind of like what Paul just said, it really feels, Shelty, honestly, for the first time since you've done this show, it feels like there's big opportunity here. You guys, even with a losing record, are one game out of a wild card in the loss column, and there's only one team between you and being in that spot. And it just feels like it's just hard to believe that there's a lot more patience for a guy like, let's say, Rowdy, when you have a lineup where accepting recent contributions from Gonzalez, maybe a little bit from Bart, you've gotten almost nothing from first base, second base, third base, catcher, center field, and right field. How much more patient can you be with Rowdy?
Well, I think the thing we got to continue to focus on is Rowdy's got to get better. I mean, I said it, and he knows he's got to get better. He's working on it. To answer your question, I really don't have a solid answer for you. I mean, one of the things about calling up Bay was we felt like he was ready and he had done what he was doing in AAA. So the main focus for us with Rowdy is he's got to continue to get better. I think he, of all people, knows that, and that's where our focus is right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he obviously are there some things that you can do maybe to help him get going? I mean, what is not happening for him right now at the plate?
Yeah, he looks like he's in between, and you know those are the things that we're working on. You know, this is a guy that has hit a bunch of home runs, and we're not getting the fastball contact out front probably as consistent as we want to. So those are the things that you know we're kind of focusing on right now to try to give it a chance to get going.
How about Sawinski, Shelty? It just seems like it's been a lot of boom or bust so far anyway in his career, and this seems like I know he hit one the other day. Does that give you hope that it's going to be a little bit of boom here? Because it's been I mean, that hurts you guys, let's be honest, when it's been this long without him really doing anything.
Right, and I think to your point there, Stark, we've seen him go through stretches where he scuffles and then he gets really, really hot, and we see – you know, bunches of extra base hits and home runs. And, you know, hopefully the other day, getting on the board, I mean, the tie-on matchup was a good one for him. You know, he had a walk later in the game besides the homer. And our hope is, you know, having a couple good at-bats that, you know, he gets going and he gets on one of those hot streaks, because we've seen when that happens that, you know, he has the ability to impact the baseball and impact our lineup.
Well, I think the other thing is, you guys have seemingly started to hit, and now, you know, this has been a longer sample size, home runs, a little bit more than you did early in the season. Is it just a matter of guys seeing the ball a little better, or, you know, some people say, well, home runs are pitched, not hit. I mean, what has sort of been behind this little surge of power you guys have had?
I love that statement, home runs are pitched, not hit. That's a great old hitting coach comment right there, so I love that idea. Paul, that's you threw one out from the archives. I love that so much because it's true. I think there's a couple combination. I think we're taking better swings, and I think it's starting to warm up. You know, I mean, if you would have been in Chicago this weekend, I mean, Cruz hit a ball on Sunday, 1-3, which, not that the metrics matter to you guys, but 1-13, that is the only out in the history of baseball of that. I mean, I think someone told me there were 690 balls hit that hard, 622 of them were hit for homers. Reynolds hit a ball later in the game. Now, I will say Morel hit one also, so it's not just on our side, with the wind blowing straight in. So I think a little bit of it has to do with the weather. We know at home, when it warms up, the ball starts to fly here a little bit better. I do think we're taking better swings, so I think it's a culmination of both things.
Talking to Pirates manager Derek Shelton here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Shelty, I have to know what you were thinking privately watching Skeens the other day, because if I was a coach, and I don't care what sport it is, and I had one of those guys, I mean, we're talking, listen, veteran players, in my experience, have always been reluctant to talk about youngsters like, oh, this guy could be one of the greatest of all time. People are freely talking about that. Perez said after the game the other day, he might be one of the greatest pitchers of all time before he's done. I mean, as a coach, to have one of those guys, maybe a LeBron-like guy, a Sidney Crosby-like guy, what runs through your mind when you're watching it?
Well, first off, I really wish Cook was on the show this week because he would love this conversation. Second is, I don't. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, we think this kid is a really good young pitcher. The first part of that question, I'm really excited that Paul Skenes is a Pirate. That's first and foremost. The stuff is really good. And watching it from the side, it was more the command that stood out than anything else. The command of multiple pitches and his ability to execute. The Cubs lineup is extremely difficult because they don't strike out. They put a ton of balls in play. I mean, and I think we saw it, Bush had the one at bat that was like 10 or 11 pitches that kind of ran his count up. So the fact that he was able to execute his full repertoire against a club like that, that was what was really impressive. But, I'm going to go back to, I'm really glad that Paul Skenes is a Pirate.
So you're not willing, and ready to say he's one of the greatest of all time after
nobody said that. But one of your own guys said he could be one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And I'll say that he's one of a handful of the most talented young pitchers to come into the majors that I've ever seen in my life. But this is your own guy talking about that.
Well,
yeah, and that's why I'm excited he's a Pirate, because I do think he has special stuff.
Along those same lines, you've got a lot of national guys saying the Pirates are appointment television every time those two young guys you have on the mound. That's got to be kind of exciting for you, that the fact that you guys are becoming appointment television according to a lot of national types.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. And, I think the thing that highlights there is that we have three guys at the top of our rotation that were drafted, developed, that are our own guys. And I think that's really important. Pitching in the major leagues is a very hot commodity, especially starting pitching. And the fact that, we've identified those guys, drafted them, and now they're performing at the big league level, that's one of the things that really excites me.
Just for clarification, that quote from Perez after the game, I think he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the history of baseball. But anyway, Shelty, he did say that.
Martin's a big fan then.
Why shouldn't we think that? I mean, we were saying that when Crosby got drafted. Did they just get potentially one of the greatest of all time? And to me, in all seriousness, having this guy and those guys at the top of your rotation changes your timeline. Do you agree with that? Like when the Penguins had Sid and they started to get good, ownership basically ordered a trade to bring in Marian Hossa, who was a veteran star, and it sent ripples through their clubhouse, through their locker room, that, this is no longer a five-year plan. We're here. We're here now. How close are you guys to being here, Shelty?
Yeah, I don't think we have the answer to that yet. I think we're closer because, like you guys said, our starting pitching's been so consistent and so good, and with those guys at the top. And the fact that, like you guys have pointed out, with the way the new structure is in terms of the playoff structure, like there's a lot more teams that are involved. So I think we feel very good about where we're at. I also think we feel like we have work to do and we have to get better in certain areas.
I think we all watched the game. What was it, Saturday?
Yeah,
that ended in the controversial call, non-call, safe. We go to the monitor. The monitor says it's still safe.
Should we play Shelty's quote for him?
Yeah. So we needed some clarification on how that play sort of went and what your thoughts were. But go ahead.
Yeah, we were definitely going to bring this up today because we didn't know what you meant, Shelty, with this quote to Greg Brown. And we realized this could be on us for being very confused, but we thought you would still be very angry the next day, maybe angrier. And instead, you seemed to concede that they had made the right call. So take a listen to yourself with Greg Brown, and then we can discuss.
Well, I mean, number one, Michael Taylor made an unbelievable throw, which, I mean, with StatCast here, we found out
it was the hardest throw,
in Major League Baseball this year, and the hardest one ever thrown by a Pirate outfielder. Joey made the tag, and as Joey took the ball out of his hand, the ball came out, and I think what we've learned is that through the conclusion of the play – the ball was dropped. And on a tag play, the presentation of the ball has to be if you're, the intent is to throw the ball.
And so they go to New York, and New York confirms the.
So there you go. The part we're confused on, Shelty, is on a tag play, the presentation of the ball has to be if you're going to throw the ball. What do you mean by that? What did you mean?
Okay. So the easier explanation is double play ball, ground ball to the shortstop, second baseman comes up on a forced play, comes across the bag, drops the ball on the exchange, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the umpire do the ball out of hand thing, and they get the out. And the way the rule book reads, whether this is right, wrong, or indifferent, this is the way the rule book reads, is when you make a tag, the presentation of the ball has to be if your intent is to throw the ball to somewhere else. So it would have been like Joey would have had to have been throwing the ball to third base. So the presentation of the ball is not the same as it is on a force play. So that's what I meant by that. So if I wasn't clear enough when I talked to Brownie, that's basically the way the rule reads. Now, you know, watching the play live, we saw the ball on the ground. You watch the play and you see the replay and you see the presentation, then you understand that. The thing about it is once it goes to replay, the home plate umpire, the crew chief, anybody, they have no longer any say in the play. So the home plate umpire saw the ball on the ground. You know, everything happened fast, and he called him safe when they went to replay, and that's the rule they used.
So you're saying that basically by rule they got it right?
I'm saying by the letter of the law, the way the rule reads, yes, they got it right.
I still don't understand, but I know I have a very tiny brain here. The presentation of the ball in the history of baseball, a catcher on a tag play, collision play, play like that is going to present the ball to the umpire to show him, hey, I've got it. So what is the logic? Tell me the logic here in presenting the ball. He would have had to have gotten up and throw it or what are we?
Yeah, because the continuation of the play, the continuation of Bellinger's slide knocked the ball out. It's like the play goes all the way through. And because it was not intentional, it wasn't like he didn't intentionally swipe it out of his hand. Then they deemed that through the completion of the play, he did not control the ball.
Well, that's a dumb rule.
Well, as I talked about with Brownie the other day off the air, because he was probably the most adamant about it of the group, we're going to have him petition the league to change the rules because he has very strong feelings about the rules. So if you would like to get on that petition, Stark, I think Brownie has started it, and we can figure out how we can do that.
All right. So when is the tag complete? And are you now telling your catchers never to present the ball again to an umpire?
I think what we would tell our catchers now is just keep the ball in your glove throughout the tag, and you can show the ball. You know, you can show your glove, but do not take the ball out of your hand, or do not transfer the ball to your hand.
And are you also going to tell your runners now? Don't make it look obvious like A-Rod in the playoff game, but any time you're going to make contact with a fielder or his glove, you should be kicking and flailing and trying to get the ball loose because you'll be deemed safe.
Well, I don't know if kicking and flailing, but I do think, you know, if you go back to the kicking and flailing is a really nice term. But if you go back to the Tom Emanski instructional video, when you slide, you got to keep your arms in the air. And that's what Bellinger did. He kept his arms in the air and he ended up making contact and with Joey's glove and the ball ended up coming out. You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, that play, I mean, obviously it stinks and not happy about it and did not lead to a very fun post game. I think the thing I was most proud of is when you have a game that ends like that we bounced back the next day and played the way we did and finished the series off with a series win in Chicago.
Yeah. Speaking of series, you've got the Giants coming in. You've already seen them, obviously, out there. What are your thoughts on playing the Giants these next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, very platoon-oriented club. They try to get the right matchups. Good bullpen. You know, they have the ability to attack you a different way. So, you know, we need to make sure that we get after the starters the next few days.
How about Ke'Bryan Hayes? Where are we with him, Shelty? Do you expect him back for this series?
Don't know about this series. Yesterday he played catch, which I think is the first step in the right direction. And I think we'll go day by day. So we'll add to him today in terms of his volume. But overall, you know, was with him yesterday, played catch with him. He was in good spirits. He looks better. So that's very encouraging.
Lastly, I just thought of something after I told Paul not to ask any more questions. I apologize to you, Paul. Henry Davis seems to be on a little bit of a rebound now at AAA. What are you hearing there? And I imagine he's still very much part of your plans for this season.
Yeah, still very much part of the plans. I think we're excited. You know, when Henry was here, we knew there were some adjustments that had to be made. And sometimes you have to go to AAA to make those adjustments. We're seeing, you know, a different setup, something we talked about when he left here that we thought was important. And sometimes just getting away from the big league environment so you can make those adjustments and, you know, go back to some of the things that we saw him do last year that made him successful, and excited that, you know, he's having more consistent at-bats.
Shelty, this was fantastic. I have to admit, I still don't understand the presentation of the ball, how it relates to how the play. Do you, Paul? Are you satisfied?
I do. I mean, it's the letter of the law. It's the rule.
Okay.
As long as it's the rule.
I'm sorry, Shelty.
As long as it's the rule, I can live with it.
What's the rule? Explain to me, Shelty. What
the Major League rule book, then you and I need to sit down and have a different conversation, because there's things in there at times that I don't understand. So I'm really looking forward to the position that you and Brownie are going to put together.
Well, Paul, you tell me and Shelty how you understand the presentation of the ball as relating to anything.
I understand that the letter of the law says if you present the ball as he explained it, if you present the ball and you're the catcher after a tag, they assume you're throwing it.
Okay, so he was going to throw it, but it got knocked out of his hand.
But it's
he
not,
didn't drop it. It got knocked
not,
out of his hand.
But it's not the same rule as the second base rule.
I know that.
So if he throws it, Shelty,
if he threw the ball, would that have been okay with them then?
If he would have thrown the ball from his butt, then we would be having a different conversation.
Well, why is that even in the rule? How are you going to throw the ball from the position he was in? He was laying on his rear end.
I don't know. Like, this is... It sounds like this is something you guys need to discuss.
I'm sorry. You go talk about the lineup. That's more important tonight.
I thought that basically Derek explained it very well.
He did, but it's still.
I appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah, it's still not really explainable. let's let him go. He has important business to tend to.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Shelty.
All right, guys. See you next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye.